Good morning. You sound like you're right around the corner.
I'm glad. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Are you back home?
I'm actually in Athens, so I have very, very strong signal.
And yes, I hope you do.
Yes, you can hear me more today.
Yeah. Can I ask you I'll ask in a minute. We had a change in the schedule because Minx can't be on the call. Would you like to be the primary observer today since you have such a strong signal?
Sure.
Okay, that would be great. I wanted to wait and check in with you. You were my first choice, but I wanted to make sure that you were clear, and you definitely are.
Yes. This is good.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How is your... Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Sasha.
Cynthia and Anna are on the call.
Okay.
So, Nikki, Anna's agreed to do the primary observation today, so take that off your plate, all right? You've got enough to worry about with your baby.
Thank you, poor little buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we're just waiting for, we have a few people that told me they were not going to be on the call, but we're waiting for Jen. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
We are all here except for waiting for Mel.
Okay.
So we'll just get a few minutes and then we'll get started. Hi, is everyone here?
Yes.
I am.
Did Mel join the call? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Hopefully she'll be on the call. I got a note that Nink's dog is still very ill. Kia's on the road. She might dial in, and Ashley had a meeting that came up. So we'll talk about those things after we get grounded. So who would like to volunteer to ground us this morning?
Nikki, I'll do it.
Thank you, Nikki.
So wherever you are, just stopping, pausing, taking a couple of deep breaths. And if it's possible to come into a seated position, do. Start to feel your sitting bones or whatever's contacting the earth ground down. And then allow the crown of the head to lift. And if it's appropriate, close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, start to notice the breath even more. Notice if there's any skips or hops in the breath. And do your very best to iron those out. And then as the breath becomes smoother, allow yourself to simply hear and take in what's around you without disrupting the breath, without disrupting the grounding that you're creating. Let's take one more deep inhale. And this last one, let's open the mouth and just let it out. Gently blinking the eyes open. And Sasha.
That was beautiful, Nikki. Thank you. I wanted to stay in that space longer. All right, so during that grounding, I believe Kia and Mel came onto the call. So, Kia, I know you're driving. So you guys might want to mute, star six. I hear a little background noise until it's your time to talk. So everybody, welcome. Thanks for being here. I would like to go around and really just be very, very mindful of taking 2 minutes. I always want to give people a chance to share whatever they want to bring into the circle or into the session with one win, one challenge. Let's just start there. We'll go into the OM work as time allows. So one win, one challenge. Anyone can start for this past week.
This is Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Can you guys hear me? Is that clear?
Oh, we can. There's actually a voice behind that Skype line. Yes.
So I would love to share a win for this week. Today I had a lovely conversation with a friend, but she just broke up with a boyfriend. And it was very, very nice to just listen and be in tune with that. And I was holding that space by only listening without really trying to always make sure that she feels okay. And I feel very compassionate about her situation. I was more like a listener with no agenda. So I truly enjoy that moment of just being clear with no intention, no agenda towards your feelings, nothing, just hurt her. So that was a big thing for me because I usually get involved. And the big challenge is actually to come back from 3 weeks of vacation and come into a regular full-time schedule. So it's been shifting on energy and actually work from vacation. It's been a little bit challenging for me this week.
Yes, I totally hear you. And thank you for being fully present on the call today. I can just hear a shift in energy. So thanks for starting us off. Who's next?
Hi, this is Cynthia.
Hi, guys. It's Mel. And I usually start with the positive bits today. I think I'm just going to start with the challenge. I'm finding life very full, which, you know, isn't it always, but especially full being pregnant and my body and my emotions changing on a daily basis and having a full load, which I enjoy and I'm happy, I choose. But within that, I've been finding that in a really wishy-washy, on clear on goals and actually feeling that energy, that fire to begin to focus on what I wanted to do and be here with the group as well. And I feel like a win is that I've come to clarity on what I'd like to harness here, not only being a part of the group, but also what I'm going to utilize and getting my own SMART goal, you know, move forward. So I feel a shift in clarity and fire, which I feel is definitely a win.
What?
Yay. That's awesome. Shift in clarity and fire. So we have just a bit of background noise.
Okay.
If you're not speaking, if you could press star 6, that would be great. And
okay,
thank you, Mel. I believe Cynthia. All right, you can press star 6. I think Cynthia was next.
Hi, it's Cynthia. My win for, I guess, last weekend, this week, is I had a full 10 days off of work in which I used my time to go through a yoga intensive for 5 days. And although it was really challenging, it was awesome. And I'm still kind of floating on that high from the intensive and the sense of accomplishment and just the relaxation that I experienced from being away from work for 10 days. So that was really great. An area of challenge for me is experiencing some issues with transitioning or transitions that I'm trying to make in my personal and professional life, and it's really raising its head this week and causing a bit of stress.
Thanks, Cynthia. I'm just curious, what yoga intensive did you take?
It's part of my yoga teacher training that I'm taking with a studio in Tampa, Florida called the Lotus Pond.
Very nice. We should all take 10 days off and do a yoga intensive, right?
Right.
That's awesome. Well, congrats. Okay, who's next? If you're trying to talk, you might be on mute.
Can you
hear me?
Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi, everyone. I'm hearing my echo.
There's a slight echo on everyone, and I don't. Is everyone on? Hopefully, everyone's on a headset, but it still sounds pretty clear. So go ahead.
Okay. So one win that I had was I had to do a teacher training intensive, which some of the Yoga Works trainers on this call probably know about. We had to do one out here in New York where a few of the people in charge came to New York to meet with us the day after Labor Day. It was 2 days ago, and I was really, I was really, didn't want to go. I had to, like, take the entire first day, I just back to work after the holiday, and in New York, it's not the same as in California. It's a big seasonal change, and all the classes are packed, and so we had to take the whole day off to go sit for a 6-hour meeting, and I was really just had a bad attitude about it, and I shifted my attitude after talking to my teacher, who's my mentor, and she gave me some good tools, and they really worked. So something that I was really dreading turned out to not be as bad because I used, and some of the tools were similar to what we do here on with this coaching work. A challenge is also, I think it was Cynthia said, and what also Nikki, something about going back to work after taking some time off. Anna. I had the same thing. I took the whole last week off, and then going back to work and the season change is hard for me. I get kind of a little bit, I get the blues. So that's a bit of a challenge for me right now.
Thanks, Jenny. And I feel very certain that the tools that your mentor and coach gave you, you are totally going to be able to resource from yourself as you continue to go through this program and realize, you know, what works for you and what doesn't. So thank you for showing up authentically. Who's next?
I'll go. It's Nikki. And my win is that I finished my resume. Woohoo! And my challenge is I was reading, and one of my challenges, I have a really hard time not trying to change my husband. And I just feel like I come up against that wall all the time. But anyways, that's my challenge, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Okay, and it's interesting because last week you had mentioned, just as a side note, that the things that you were talking about with him had shifted just in terms of the language. So just a reminder about that, that it's definitely going to be an ongoing process. But again, thank you for sharing. Kia, are you able to talk while you're driving and be safe?
Hi, I hope you guys can hear me. I'm just about to fill up with gas.
Okay, where are you?
But I could say very quickly that my win has just been that I finished a 40-day, 2.5-hour sadhana, and that led right into my retreat at Esalen, and it was the highest, most intuitive experience I've ever had with a group of people, and I really think it came from my meditation practice. And let's see, my challenge, to be quite honest, I didn't get the time to listen to last week's call because I was out of cell range in Esalen for a week and then 4 days with my family in the mountains in Pennsylvania. So I feel terribly behind in terms of what we're doing.
Okay. Well, wow, congratulations on that 40-day. That is amazing. And just also know that those recordings are available to you 24/7. So whenever you have an opportunity to listen to that, you'll be fully caught up. But I'm glad you can make the call live today. All right. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken? Great. And as I mentioned earlier, Ashley will not be with us today. So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of you are going through some transition. And that's not really on our agenda as we move through the coaching piece of this, but is there anyone feeling like they need to speak to more of that just to get clear? Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody was as fully present as you can be. Seasonal change and after Labor Day and weather changes, kids back to school, you know, classes getting back to being packed after summer. I mean, there's a lot going on. And so this is actually a perfect time to remind ourselves why we do practice and the benefits of not only our asana practice but our sitting practice, and then bringing in the tools of this program that are incredibly beneficial. So I'd like to just check in to see if anybody has any questions on the reading material or any of the action challenges, some of the homework that we had. Okay, everyone got a chance to read through the materials? All right, great. Well, if we could turn to page 103. Kia, you keep driving. Keep your eyes on the road. Fulfilling the client's agenda, page 103. So we started introducing this as one of the five, the first steps of the Simple Coaching Model last week, and we're just going to dive in a little bit deeper and sort of explore why this particular piece really discerns coaching from therapy and how it can be used effectively to strategize the client going forward. Does somebody want to share with us what they feel would be a really nice parallel in the yoga world, you know, sort of fulfilling the student's agenda? When a student comes to class, just sort of what's the environment there? What, as a teacher, are you trying to hold for that student?
I promise I want to talk, but I talk so much I'm really trying not to talk, but I'm going to go ahead and talk if no one's talking. I think something that we do is obviously set the intention, and I think, you know, some of the reading addressed that as well, which is when you allow your student to create an intention, no matter what you're teaching, they're able to address their own agenda, because whatever pose they're in or whatever you're asking of them, they can apply their intention. And so I think asking them to set their own intention in the beginning of a class is a way for them to address their own needs.
I totally agree. That's absolutely accurate. And as a teacher, then, what is your role?
I think that's hard, because if it's a private, then it's, you can have a discussion about it, right? But are you talking about in a group setting?
I think I would be gearing this more towards a group setting.
I think your role is to be present in the moment to see if you can, you know, pick up on what somebody might need. And instead of continuing to move forward with a class that may not be appropriate for what's going on in the room, being open to shifting and feeling the energy of the room. And I think that's your role as a teacher, is to really be present with everyone and what their intention might be.
Absolutely. And in reading over this material for all of you, can you see the parallel of being the coach and holding the space for what the client needs?
I feel that encouragement by just sharing that the space is there for our students to, whatever their intention is to be discovered and explore. And whatever comes up, it's okay. Actually, holding the space and keep reminding them that no matter what comes up, it's okay. It's all okay at the present moment.
Absolutely. And Anna, how would you apply that to a coaching role with your client?
I would try to encourage the feelings and the thoughts and the ideas that come up as what is now appropriate, or whatever is coming up, it's definitely okay to listen to talk about, to discover, instead of trying to define a specific thing that I have in mind or an expectation that I would like the client to go or a student to go towards.
Correct. And I think it may have been last session, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Jenny brought up the point that you could have this brilliant sequence that you're guiding your students through or wanting to, and then you get into the room and you see maybe the different variations of levels, you're reading the energy, and you're feeling like, hey, wait, maybe this sequence is not the best fit today, and then maybe you drop into your intuition and let your, let your intuition be your guide to flow you through the class. And it's the same exact thing here. We talked briefly about hijacking the agenda. It's a little bit different because as a teacher, I go in with a plan all the time, and I really try to stick to it unless under those circumstances that I just explained, but that's rare in the environment that I teach in. But it's following your intuition as a coach and allowing the client to come up with what's most important to them. So that's actually what we're going to be speaking a little bit more about. So the top of page 103, the three things must be fully present for artful coaching to take place are that the coach is fully focused on the client. We just spoke briefly about that. The client is willing to be coached. So you're going to get a sense as you move through the relationship that you have with your client, and I think it's a few pages in, maybe the next page, page 104, at the bottom, you're going to know if your client is showing up fully. And there's a little sort of informal contract that you discuss with your client at the beginning of the relationship as to what the expectations are, not only for the client, but for the coach. And so if the client is not willing to be coached, obviously that is going to come up and should come up in the beginning. But there's certainly times where I've had clients where in the middle, not in the middle of the session, but like say 5, 6, 7 weeks down the road, life happens and then they're just in a place where they don't want to be coached, where you then have to reference back to the agreements that you guys made in the beginning of the relationship as to what's expected. And if neither the client, well, we're talking about the client here, the client is not meeting those expectations, then it's a good time to take a look at, you know, terminating that. And those are listed at the bottom of 104. It says if your client is not bringing a well-formed agenda, misses or shows up chronically, and you can read the rest of them, that's sort of a red flag as to are they fully engaged in this process. So number two, really, really important. Number three, the client has brought a particular agenda for this session. So that is really the distinguishing feature between coaching and therapy. If there's not an agenda, there's really no artful, strategic way to move forward. It gets kind of messy. Kind of is all over the place. There's really no structure. There's no, there are no goals. And so these three bullet points here are super, super important to fulfilling the client's agenda. These three things have to happen. Any questions on these? Does anybody disagree or agrees with an example of maybe something in the yoga studio? Okay. Excuse me. So we're going to turn to page 108. And in the middle of the page, it's just a little bit more text around clarifying the client's agenda. Cynthia, would you mind reading just the first paragraph and then dropping down to the third?
Stopping at the third paragraph?
No, reading the first and the third.
Oh, okay. Clarifying the client's agenda. The client's agenda is more than just the topic of discussion for the session. The client's agenda includes the details surrounding the topic and what the client wants to take away from the session. As your client begins to share what is on their mind, listen closely for the key points that compose their agenda, the specific topic they want to explore in the session, any important details about the topic, what exactly they want to take away from the session. This may be a shift in perspective, solutions or next steps.
And then continue those next three bullet points on the top of page 109, please.
Ask open-ended questions until the agenda is clear to you. Also, take note of the client's exact words about their topic, the feel of the words in their voice and energy, potential other or underlying agendas.
Great. So those words in bold are what I want you to take in. They're exact words, what they are telling you precisely about their topic, the energy around their words, their voice, and we read a little bit about that piece last week. And potential other or underlying agendas, we briefly touched on that when we are maybe helping them to shift the perspective and the coach as an aha moment, but really trying to dive into and explore what they might not be saying. So if, just to continue on right there, that next paragraph is super important. If you're listening closely, the client will usually tell you exactly what they want out of the session in the first 1 to 5 minutes of the session. If you don't hear it, it's critical to ask, what would you like to take away from this session? So it's really important to establish the agenda. That is your roadmap for going forward. And just a few other notes to this point, that it's really about the client writing their own story. We're all the architect for our evolving story. And we can facilitate this by asking powerful questions, reframing and explaining. Brainstorming is a great tool to use to sort of distill their agenda. You can talk about any ideas or insights that you or the client might have. And then you can strategize. So again, it's around helping the client be the architect of their story. What this last paragraph said is basically a self-statement. People say, what people say and do is the best indication of their story. So how they show up is who they are. Does that make sense? They're not going to come to this collaborative relationship in any other way than how they show up in other parts of their life. So if they show up projecting or resisting, it's showing you exactly what it's like to be them. So you get to experience them in this way sort of as a barometer. And from that point, you can use that to continue to brainstorm and clarify. But people, it's not like a perfect tied up in a pink bow situation sometimes where the client doesn't even know what their agenda is. And we have to find ways, effective ways as coaches, to sort of peel back the layers and without hijacking their agenda, leading them with powerful questions to have them come up with what's important to them. And it's brilliant because it works all the time. I also want to encourage you to listen at multiple levels. So I just spoke a little bit about that energetically. Nikki spoke about that. And I think that's a real skill. It's a tool that as yoga teachers we have had the ability to develop. I would like to develop mine more. I'm constantly looking at ways to have that help me be a stronger teacher and be there for my clients and my students. And then also listening for passive language. You know, I feel like when people are talking in a passive way, it means that they're not taking authorship of their story. It's an indication of their position. So what is their belief? What is the behavior? You can talk about a little bit about their internal point of reference. It can be one of two things. It can be one of accountability and being proactive, which means they are writing their own story, or it can be one of very passive, where they're maybe expecting the coach to have some answers and do the work for them. And that's, again, a little bit more into the therapeutic relationship. So, again, discerning the difference between the two. All right, what questions are coming up so far around establishing the client's agenda?
I have a question. It's Cynthia.
Thank you.
What if you are talking to your client and they have no idea what their agenda is, and they kind of begin the call as just complaining or ranting about something, and obviously that part of their agenda is to work through that, but they can't grasp what the agenda is? Do you keep asking questions and probing, or how do you shift the energy of, you know, complaining to trying to go into discovery?
That's a brilliant question. I'm going to throw it back at you. What would you do as a coach if your client came to you in that way? Have you experienced that before?
I have experienced that before, and I found it to be a difficult situation. I tend to be very, very calm in my life and very strategic about what I talk about and how I think and how I just in general do things. And when I'm approached by someone who is a little frantic, it really unravels my threads. So when I had that particular situation happen, I did attempt to, you know, ask open-ended questions that were, you know, trying to lead the person back to the purpose of the call. You know, what would you like to, how would you like to focus on this, or, you know, tell me more, or how do you want to use the call today to resolve these feelings? And the client just kept going right back around to the ranting. And that was a very stressful call. And I don't think that I was successfully able to even create an agenda. It was more like a call of just complaining.
Hmm. Would you agree that client showed up with exactly what was on their mind in that moment for that call?
I mean, I believe she showed up with what she was feeling and you know, what was on her mind, but she didn't show up with the agreement, you know, that we set in place, and she didn't show up to be proactive, you know, for the coaching session. She kind of showed up and I just want to go on and complain and get it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tricky situation, because we do want to honor exactly where the client is. And every day is a different situation, and it's all, like I said, it's all not necessarily tied up in a pink ribbon. Sometimes it can be a little bit messy, and I'm curious, and I don't mean to put you on the spot at all, so feel free to not answer, but what about that call did you find discomforting? Because you shared a little bit about your MO, and I just wonder if that kind of energy did something to disrupt your
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the end of your question. You wonder if the energy...
If the energy of that call caused you some kind of discomfort because it took you out of your comfort level, and so then you weren't able to show up fully in your coaching role, wearing your coaching hat.
I would say that in the beginning of the call, I was a little taken back, but I've learned a technique when I went through my coaching course of how to stay in the moment using your breath and just really focusing by closing your eyes and eliminating the other distractions and just really pinpointing, you know, with laser focus on the client. And so I was able to quickly gain composure, energy, and focus. And I think that worked really well, you know, but at the end of the call, I mean, I think halfway through, you know, she was pretty upset, and I think I just kind of allowed her just to have that space, you know, and I clarified, you know, do you want to use this session today, you know, for this purpose? Those weren't my words. And she pretty much said, yeah, I do. I just want to scream and get it all out. And so I just let her, you know. Every once in a while I'd make a noise to let her know I was there, and I would try to acknowledge anything that she said in a positive way, but that's kind of how the call went.
Yeah, and you never know how the client's going to show up. So what are some tools, and I'm opening this up to the group, what are some powerful questions that Cynthia could ask her client at that point to try to bring the client to a place where she can take something away from the call rather than having her use it as a venting session, which is completely fine too. It's really a coaching session.
Jenny.
Go ahead. Yeah, Jenny, go ahead.
Is there a way to ask a question that goes sort of like this? So we have this time together on the where I'm that's for you. Is there any possible way, or do you think there? I don't know how to ask it exactly, but that we can use this time in a way that you'll feel at the end of it that you have some tools to help you with what's going on, something like that.
Absolutely. I don't think there's really any right or wrong here. If you're framing it in a way that can potentially bring the client to a different perspective, but sometimes it's not, sometimes they're not open to it. So yes, that can be a great question. It's difficult to know if she would have responded. So yes, I mean, there are lots of things you can ask. I might ask, you know, what's beneath the anger? You know, whatever emotion she's showing, to allow her, give her permission to go into what she's feeling rather than us trying to make it look a certain way based on the parameters of what we have learned or are learning. I just want to make that distinction. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from?
Or maybe
go ahead.
There is a way to even go even further, just after asking where this fear of anger is coming from, is to ask how it makes you really feel at this moment, like physically, or do you feel that you're thinking clear, or bring it back to the emotions and observing them and what does to her.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where you can use your tools, like Cynthia mentioned, breath work, somatic work. Where are you feeling this in your body? You know, getting that, usually, I mean, it sounded like, and I could be wrong, Cynthia, so correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, this woman, this client, was super in her head, you know, but where is she feeling this in her body? And that's where really our experience as yoga teachers can come in. The mind, there is no separation, right? Sean Cohen talks about that all the time, between mind and body, internal and external, matter and consciousness, you and I, there is no separation. When we live in fear, we live in disconnection. So it's absolutely appropriate and applicable and encouraged to bring your wealth of wisdom from the yoga studio as a yoga teacher to your client, to hold the space for whatever comes up, and encourage them to be wherever they are while continuing to ask the powerful questions to allow them to find what their agenda might be. And sometimes the agenda is not clear, and it's okay.
I really agree with you, Sasha.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I really agree with the thematic approach. I think that's so incredibly helpful, because otherwise people are just in this story, and then they're perpetuating more of the confusion that they find themselves in the first place. And for me, I might find that hard to just sit and listen, venting.
Mm-hmm. And thanks, Kia. I just, sometimes we don't know who our clients are going to be. We just know that they're out there and they're looking for us. They're waiting for us. But we may often have clients that don't have a mind-body practice. So maybe for the first time in their life, they're tapping into their somatic experiences. And for some of those people, it can be super scary. I mean, look at the person who goes and takes their first yoga class ever, that's never had any somatic experiences or doesn't even know about them. It's kind of frightening, and it can be the same thing as a client. So, you know, just use very nurturing hands and very soft language and very an encouraging tone. No one has to be wrong or right. Just remember that it's a collaborative process, and you're doing your best to facilitate that relationship. They are there for a reason. There's something that they want from this relationship, and it's our job to uncover and lead them to where they want to go. So, Cynthia, great, great question. Thank you for bringing that up. I hope that helped a little bit.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay, great. Let's move on just a bit. Please turn to page 88. Top of page 88. We're going back and then we're going forward. Mel, are you on the call?
Here I am.
Hi, Mel. Would you mind reading the first two paragraphs on page 88?
You got it. Specifying the agenda and determining what the client wants to take away from the session distinguishes coaching from all other professional engagements. The client has established a map for effectiveness in determining the agenda and the desired outcome. The result will be the experience and model of mastery. If the agenda is not crystal clear to you, further specify and ask questions until you fully understand what the client wants. This is a crucial step in the beginning of the coaching session. And I start that for myself. Proceed into the session only when you have full clarity yourself and have co-created with the client a specific focus and the desired outcome.
Tell me why you start that. What does that mean, or what resonates with you about that piece?
Well, you know, especially I have an echo on my side, so my apologies. But especially our time last week when I was the coach, I definitely felt kind of unanchored. And so this to me is like, okay, this is how you anchor.
Exactly. Great. That's great. So the takeaway piece, feel free if you cannot come up with an agenda for your client. Like, you're going through all these tools, you're asking powerful questions, you're doing some deep listening, you're listening for the energy that they don't know, they're not clear. Feel free to just step in and ask this question. What would you like to take away from the session? And we'll continue with that on page 109, which speaks to this exactly. If you don't get in the first 1 to 5 minutes of the session what they want, it's really, really critical to ask, what would you like to take away from the session? Because that helps sort of bring their focus to what they want for the next hour. Okay. It's actually an opportunity to help the client connect. I was reading on the wrong page. So really important to understand those two things about clarifying and specifying the agenda and asking them what they want to take away. So take away is synonymous with their accomplishment. What do they want to accomplish by the end of your time together? Okay. Any questions on that?
Yeah, I have a question, Sasha. So, like, if you're approaching someone, well, if someone's come to you and they're like, oh, great, you're coaching, and this has kind of happened to me, and I didn't say I was coaching, I said I was taking a course. You know how it is. I'm taking your yoga course. Oh, will you give me a private? So, like, let's say somebody's like, I'm trying to, like, I really want to, find a profession I love. And so then you sit down and you're like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And they're like, well, I don't know. You feel like it's better to kind of turn that person away and say, like, I feel like you need to have some sort of agenda to be coached. There needs to be something that you're working towards. And what if you just know, like, I want a new career, but I don't know what it is? How would you approach something like that?
I think coaching allows people to uncover their agenda. And by being a coach and learning and applying the tools that we're learning in this program, you are going to have the skills to allow them to figure it out for themselves. I do not feel that someone has to be in a particular place to want coaching. The only distinguishing feature, which we talked about at the beginning, I think it was the first week, that if they're living in their emotional trauma and they're stuck in their patterns and they're better served by therapy, then that is not a great client for this type of work. But by no means is there any disadvantage to having a client who has no idea. And the reason they're seeking your services is because they want to have some idea. And together, the two of you, in your work, in your collaborative process, applying all the principles that we're learning in this course, together we'll be able to absolutely come up with what's important to them and move them towards that.
Thanks.
I have a quick question. Sasha, could you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Anna.
So I'm wondering, in a therapy session, the agenda is not being determined by the client?
Are you asking in a therapy question, is this agenda not determined? To my knowledge, my education, my research, my conversations with colleagues, and also my experience in therapy as a client and my experience in coaching as a client, they're very, very different. There's a hierarchy in therapy where the therapist is pretty much dictating where, how, why, what the client needs to do to find improvement. And in the coaching relationship, the coach and client are equal partners in the relationship. And the client is the one that determines. So they're very much engaged. They're very much empowered. They're really coming from, hey, where am I now and where do I want to go to versus do I need to spend time in the past healing my emotional wounds and my traumas? Really huge distinction.
Actually, I have a very, very different experience with therapy, and it seems to me that it's the same, actually. But it seems that definitely the therapy is not as present to the now and the immediate future. Mm-hmm. But what had happened possibly from childhood that sometimes is actually a result of what is happening now. So I personally didn't ever haven't had the experience of a therapist telling me where I need to go. I actually bring my agenda and I discuss it, and I find very similar, many similarities between life coaching and therapy, actually.
Okay.
That's my experience.
And absolutely, there are so many experiences, I can't speak to all of them. And the bottom line is the client getting what they need? They're getting the support they need for the time that they are spending with this practitioner. And different people want different styles, they want different titles, they, you know, so I'm not judging. And one is not right or wrong. I'm just hoping to clarify what I've learned is the distinction between the two methods of working with clients. And your therapist may have a life coaching background. You know, who knows? Maybe they're blending both.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for bringing that up. All right. Any other questions? We've got about 3 more minutes till the top of the hour. I'd like for everyone to turn to page 89 and 90. And I know I sent you those that document with some many, many examples of asking powerful questions. But this combination of listening and asking is just a brilliant model in coaching. So, Jenny, would you mind reading, by asking powerful questions, the mentor coach, and then read those bullet points?
Sorry, what page? Because I don't see it on 89.
The top of page 89, delivering powerful questions.
Okay, thanks.
Jenny, are you there?
Hello?
Okay. Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Do I start over?
We didn't hear anything, so.
Okay. Listening carefully and asking powerful questions are a powerful combination in coaching. By asking powerful questions, the mentor coach directs the flow of the session, gathers useful data, develops rapport, facilitates a growth mindset, stimulates insight.
And then continue reading just that next paragraph.
It is the coach's responsibility to keep the session moving in a useful direction. Asking questions enables the coach to facilitate the session to continually explore who the client is, what the client wants, and what both can do to co-creatively achieve the client's focus. The client's answers tell the coach where to go next with the coaching.
So pretty straightforward that these two things here I talked about, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. And it is an incredible tool, I think, in life, not just in coaching, to be able to fully be present and listen in this very fast-paced world that we live in, and our lives are incredibly busy. It's really challenging off the mat, sometimes even on the mat, to bring your attention and your focus to the present and keep it there, like focusing everything that you have on that client. So it's a skill that's constantly being developed. But listening is just a huge, huge tool and a piece of this process, as well as asking powerful questions to get the client to think deeper, to peel away some of the layers, to explore and distill where they want to go. So just a little bit more of the same. And you guys, hopefully have read or will continue to read through the next few pages here, five types of questions on 91. Just really, really be helpful in designing how you want to use your questions. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. So today, Jenny is going to be coaching Cynthia. And because Minx is not able to be on the call, Anna has agreed to step up and be the primary observer. So before we get started, I would like for all of us, except for Cynthia and Jenny, to be listening. Did the coach listen for and clarify the client's agenda? Did they ask what the takeaway is? So we really want to be listening for, and Jenny, hopefully using these in your session today, so we can apply these principles that we're using. If someone could just briefly remind us of the five simple steps of the coaching model, then we'll get started.
I can.
Okay, thank you.
Specify the client's agenda. Determine useful intervention moments. Sift the perspective. Frame the session. Follow up.
Great. And those are the things that we will be listening for specifically, what I talked about in the beginning. So if everyone except for Jenny and Cynthia would hit star six, ladies, give us a minute, watch your time, and good luck.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So, what's going on with you, and what would you like to talk about today? Is there something you want to work on or get from the session?
Yes. I have a reoccurring behavior that tends to, I tend to self-sabotage my goals in life with this behavior, and I'd really like to talk about that and maybe find some tools to help me get over that.
Okay, how would you describe that behavior, that self-sabotage?
Okay, so I'm a fixer. You know, I do the same thing with all my family and friends. Whenever I hear that they have a problem, I jump in and try and save the day. And I think for the majority of my life, I didn't know that I was doing that. But for the last few years, I really noticed the pattern that I would, you know, rush in and fix everything for everyone. And, you know, sometimes that's not bad to do. But I've noticed lately I've gone a little deeper in trying to figure out why I do that and try and move away from that. But so I've noticed that when I'm going through some sort of transition in life or when I'm trying to move away from something to go towards something else, I will self-sabotage myself in a way that at the same time someone has a problem and I go in and I'm like, oh, I can help you with this. And then I kind of put away the things that I'm trying to work on for myself, and I pick up helping someone else. And then when that process is over, I'll kind of wake up and I'm like, well, I've totally dropped my goals, and I've put everything to the side to help someone else, and why do I do that? And I get really frustrated with myself for doing it, but then I'll do it again the next time the occasion occurs.
Wow, that's really interesting, and I can absolutely relate to that so much. Can you tell me a little bit more? Is that something that's happening with you right now in your life? Is there a situation that you find yourself in where you're doing that?
It is. So I recently moved to Florida, actually 2.5 years ago, as a breakaway point. I have two kids that are in their mid-20s, and it was a great time for me to allow them to live their own life because they were self-sufficient, and for me to come to Florida and live my own life and start doing the things that I've always wanted to do, which was teach yoga and be a full-time life coach and be a retreat coach. And so I've been working on different aspects of that while I've been in Florida, while working a full-time job. And so my family is a big part of my life. And so recently my mom has ended a relationship, a long-term relationship with her husband. And so she's talking to me. She's very, very upset, and she doesn't want to live by herself. And so I was watching myself and my behavior, and I was like, okay, so my first impulse was, okay, tell her to move in with you. And then my second thought was, well, you're not going to be able to quit your job at American Express because you have to support her if she moves in with you, and you won't be able to downsize and really focus on the goals in your life that you set out to do. And so thinking all of this, you know, the next day I called her up and I said, hey, why don't you just move in with me and I'll take care of you? And so I'm watching myself sabotage myself, but I just couldn't stop. And I know that I do this out of obligation and out of guilt. But those are not really things that I need to talk about today. So that's the scenario. And I would like to be able to develop some sort of tool or do something so that I can stop myself and figure out different solutions for when something like that comes up. And I know this is a really big deal, you know, but I think that if I had some tools or methods, I could use it across the board. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Makes sense. Thank you for being so forthcoming with what's going on. So one thing that I think it would be wonderful for you to acknowledge is that the process, that there is some progression of that you observed yourself doing it as opposed to not seeing at all any what was happening until after the fact. So that seems like progress. Are you asking if in the future what you can do or what you can do about the situation you're in right now with your mother?
I guess what I'm really wanting is a way to put the brakes on when I encounter a situation. Like, how do I, instead of, okay, so I've gone from not knowing that I do this at all to... watching my progress beyond that point to stopping myself from doing it.
Well, you mentioned that when you talked to your mother and she was telling you about, and you started to feel upset for her, and then you got off the phone, and then you waited until the next day, and then told her to move in with you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, is it possible? Do you think that there is something you can do in addition to that? That's already like you paused, like a really powerful pause, and you waited and you thought about it. Do you remember maybe what it was in the moment that you were feeling right when you got on the phone with her? Did you already know that you were going to tell her to move in, or was it like a split second decision?
It was a split-second decision. I mean, I did think about it, and I know that that's not the best option for me, and because it's not the best option for me, it probably isn't the best option for her. But when I talked to her, I felt, you know, I felt her pain, I guess I could say, and I couldn't stand the thought of her, you know, going through that, and so I just had a tremendous need to fix things for her because I know that if I, you know, swoop in and help her and fix things, that she will experience less pain. So the decision to tell her to move in was definitely an impulse decision that I wasn't intending to make.
Okay, so you were intending to actually make, to do something else, and then in a split second you kind of went back to your old behavior and told her to move in. What was, can I ask you what her answer was, her reaction?
She started crying and said that she really appreciated that someone would help her and that she wouldn't have to be alone and that someone in the family reached out to her and offered her help. And then she said she'd think about it.
Is it possible that before you, so that pause in between when you're listening to someone like your mother or somebody who needs help, and then you wait, and then you, and before that you talk to them again, that you actually make some kind of decision, or you talk to someone else, or you have a more firm idea of what you're going to do before you get on the phone with somebody who needs your help, that you don't go right to that behavior that you've always had. Does that sound like something you can do?
So you're saying once I realize what the need is, to step away from it and plan a course of action and then talk to them about it?
Exactly.
That would definitely help.
It sounds like you're already on the path to doing that because you didn't, you waited a day before you told her or invited her into your life on that way. And is there some thing that, do you think that there is maybe some reason why you're doing this that is much, well, you already mentioned that it's deeper than just the self-sabotage is a deeper thing. Do you think that maybe you're in a way that you're afraid of moving forward in your life, and so that this is a way for you just to stay where you were?
Absolutely, and I have often acknowledged that with myself, that, you know, especially this transition that I'm making is pretty scary because I make a really, really good salary, and I'm progressing in my career, which ironically I don't enjoy. And so it's really scary to step away from security to something that is unknown. And I do have a fear around that, which has prevented me, you know, pretty much all of my life from moving forward more than I have. So I know and I realize that it is fear that allows me to cling on to someone else that has a need and drop my own needs to pay attention to theirs. So that's where the self-sabotaging comes in. I know I'm doing it and why I'm doing it.
That's really incredible that you can see that. And do you think that there's something that you can take away where you, even though you're witnessing and observing the fear and this habit that you've had, that there's something that you can do that moves you in a direction toward not feeling so terrible about it, or know that you are moving forward in some way? Maybe you're teaching one yoga class, or you're doing something in addition that your mother moving in is not going to prevent you from being able to do. Does that make sense, what I'm asking? Is there something that you can, so you can, don't have to, like, one thing doesn't have to what's one thing doesn't have to, it's not mutually exclusive. Like, you're able to do what you want to do while at the same time not completely asking yourself to change your personality and do something completely different.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I do have an all or nothing kind of attitude going on. So I could probably attempt to step away from that all or nothing mentality. And try and you know, make smaller changes, you know, if that situation, you know, does occur.
I mean, I would really, you know, one of the things that it might make you feel more comfortable, well, maybe, you know, let me ask you, do you think it might make you feel more comfortable if you were doing, yeah, a couple of the things that you're dreaming about without quitting your day job completely? And that is very terrifying to imagine.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing now. You know, I'm prepping to do that, and my plan is to, you know, slowly start ramping up in a small way the things that I want to do, and then keep ramping up until I'm able to quit my full-time job.
And when you say ramping up, are you, how are you doing that? What are you, how are you preparing yourself, or what kind of goals are you setting for yourself?
So one of the ways that I'm preparing is taking this class. I had stopped coaching for a couple of years, and I felt like I needed a class, like a refresher, and to get that energy going again. And I have, you know, some other side goals of how to start getting clients to come on board and ramping up, you know, my coaching business. And the other side of that is I'm taking another yoga teacher training course so that I can do the same with yoga. And so those are two things, two big things that I'm doing to work in that direction.
So, ladies, we need to wrap up in 1 minute.
Okay. So one thing that might be something that you consider perhaps is by next week, so that it sounds to me like you're taking classes and you're getting yourself prepared to move to the next stage. Am I correct in saying that? That you're preparing yourself to move forward. Is there something you can do that is actually more actively participating, like maybe a coaching situation that's just like a, you know, for free for a friend, or a class that you're just doing with some neighbors or something like that that makes you more comfortable with that change? I know we have to end, but that's just a...
I think that is something that I could do, and it is a good suggestion and something that I will follow up on.
Okay, I think we're out of time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia. It's so hard for me to ask questions and not just talk, so thank you.
Okay, if everyone could unmute, please, by pressing star 6. And I will have Anna facilitate the feedback discussion, please.
So would you like me to just share what I notice, or...
Absolutely. And keeping in mind the principles that we were talking about and learning today, and if those were used.
Okay. So I'll talk first of all about Cynthia. I think that she came into the call very specific, very direct. She knew exactly what she wanted to talk about. So the client's agenda, it was very clear to me from the beginning. And she was very honest, very present, and very specific with herself and with Jenny. So definitely transitions are hard, and we all go through them. But it seems that you have you have awareness about your process, and you're very present with it. You're observing yourself along the transition. So I think that made Jenny's job easier to ask the questions. And what I felt that Jenny brought into this call was a very energetic and enthusiastic attitude, and also her voice, because it's so strong and loud in a way.
it's kind of uplifting. Like, it makes me think, what am I supposed to do? Like, waking up, Cynthia, to think and be proactive about stuff. Energizing. So the only weakness that I might notice about Jenny is that the questions were not as, like, you were not taking as much time after you heard Cynthia to kind of compose yourself and ask a question. You kind of mumbled through the question. At the end, it was a very nice and clear question, but you kind of talked a little bit more. I feel that if you would give a little bit of a pause after what Cynthia was telling you, it would have been more time for you to think and ask a more direct question than talking a lot.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. It's really, really helpful. Who would like to jump in and add their thoughts around the feedback to that coach-to-coach session? We're going to hear from everyone.
Hi, this is Kia. I really love Jenny's voice as well. I think that one of Jenny's great qualities is that I just have confidence in her immediately. So I think that's really helpful in this kind of coaching relationship. I was curious about what would happen if Cynthia was asked what would it feel like to actually have said no to her mother or to have not invited her to stay. So underlying that, that was sort of an area that I intuitively felt to explore, but I don't know if that was right or not either.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Kia. There, we're all different. Even though we're learning the same tools and principles, we may look through a different lens. And so there may be questions that pop up to some of us that don't to the other. And that's why I feel the feedback piece is hugely helpful. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. Who would like to go next?
Hi, guys. It's Mel. I just have to say I just really appreciate this process, and I want to say that I think they did a great job, and that I do think Cynthia was like a dream client, and she's very self-accountable, and that really allowed for a really, you know, a great practice run of sorts. Because it was part of what I did in the beginning of mine, I caught a moment where the agenda was set, but it wasn't repeated back. And I think I'm really trying to own that for myself as well. So where the client shares and then we mirror it back for them. So that was just one part that, you know, I think we can anchor it. And I thought that Jenny asked really good questions. And I think also just allowing more time for those answers to kind of like come out without energizing and moving in on the answers. But there was this amazing moment where the aha happened about all or nothing for Cynthia. And I thought that was just so beautifully facilitated by both Jenny and Cynthia. And it was like, there we are. We're moving through it. We can take a baby step here, and we're already on it. And so anyway, I just thought it was excellent, and I loved listening.
Yeah. That's great insight, Mel. Thanks for sharing. Nikki, what are your thoughts today?
I think Jenny did a really great job. I thought she sounded really professional, and I did find myself coming up with solutions for her. Like, oh, what I would do is write it down. Like, I would write down my response, and then I would read it, so that way I couldn't, you know, so I was coming up with kind of solutions, right? And then I realized that really what you should do is ask a question like, how do you think you could stop yourself from saying something you don't want?
Mm-hmm.
you can let them brainstorm ways of for solutions. I found myself just kind of trying to put myself in Jenny's shoes, like, what would I say? How would I handle it? And, again, she did come to a solution that I wouldn't have. I would never have said the baby step. I would have said, like, call your mom and tell her that she can't live with you. So it was really good to,
Nikki, with such compassion and love. I mean,
such compassion and love. What is it called? But you know what? I actually related with Cynthia a lot because I all the time say, okay, this is what I'm going to say, and then I get on the phone with the person and I don't say what I want. I thought about writing down what I want to say so that way there's no varying. Anyways, it was just interesting to see how I could put myself in there and how I need to change certain things.
Yeah, I'm just open to seeing how other people do it and you know, sort of dissecting and seeing what works and what doesn't work and some other options. 15 minutes, 16 minutes is a very short session. You can get someone to commit to a baby step in 15 minutes. You can get them to, you know, probably solve world hunger in an hour. You know, it's just, it's really, really quick. So thank you for everyone's feedback. I just want to say that that session was publishable. That was awesome. I'm really, really proud of all of you. But especially in this session, I just, you know, you're all so intuitive and you're, I'm just going to end up repeating what you already saw is that, Cynthia has a specific agenda. She's a coach. She knows what she's supposed to bring to the table. And she actually did sort of paved the way for Jenny to just sort of jump right in there and move her. I think that Jenny, in time, maybe in a, you know, through this program, would be able to ask more probing, more solution-based questions sooner. But it's your first time doing it, and it's really, really challenging because clearly Cynthia wanted tools. She wanted solutions, and I agree with Kia. I would have asked about what would happen if you said, Nikki, I think we can hear your baby. Okay, just go ahead and put star six. You know, what would have happened, what would it look like if you said no to your mom? Or maybe what would it look like, is there a solution that would include you not sabotaging your goals, but still being compassionate and mindful and supportive towards your mom. I mean, there are so many different ways to go. But I agree with Mel that Jenny, just remember in the very, very beginning to mirror back what you hear, just so that the agenda is clear. I thought you did an absolute brilliant job of acknowledging her, and she showed up with something that's very, very personal. And so you held the space for that in a very nurturing way, and that's who you are. And it's a very, I would have felt very safe with you as well. So what I heard is you, you know, the agenda was there. You didn't really need to ask for the takeaway. You got to that aha moment of, wow, yeah, I do operate in all or nothing. And then there was, I'm not sure there was a framing the session, kind of ran out of time, but there was follow-up. So all in all, to cover, you know, 4 out of the 5 steps of the simple coaching model is brilliant. So congratulations to both of you. How did you guys feel in the last minute that we have here?
Hi, it's Jenny. I really enjoyed that, and I felt very challenged because, like Nikki, I would have been like, well, this is what you need to do, you know, and brought in my own, like, oh yeah, my mother's the same way, and I totally get it, and so it's just very, very interesting to learn how to just mute and to listen. And I loved it. And it was very challenging for me, which I love. I love the challenge. So thank you so much. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome. And I thought it was a good session, too. You know, like the others said, your voice has a certain presence that brings about confidence, and I felt very safe in talking with you because of how you hold your presence. So that was really nice. I did hear, you know, when you would talk a little fast, you know, I noticed it, but then immediately I could hear, you know, the nurturing feelings that were coming from your speech. And so it didn't matter to me if you were talking too fast or didn't make enough space, because I could really feel that you were holding that space for me, and it felt great.
Awesome. Okay, yogis and ladies, let's just quickly review the homework, and then I will let you go for the day. So review pages 97 through 100. Again, that's just more about the simple coaching model. And then for the next class, read page 67 through 80. And then I'd like you to read in the yoga supplement, page 5, the agenda and intentions, and take the action challenge on page 6 of the yoga supplement. Okay? So thank you all for showing up with your power and your strength and your attention and your energy. I'm just really having fun getting to know and work with all of you, as always. If you have any concerns between now and next session, don't hesitate to reach out. And I'll look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Quick question, Sasha.
Sure.
Who is on the call next week, like on the session?
I'm sorry?
Because, see, we are on week 5.
This is week 4 today, right? Next week
right.
is week 5.
And it says the coach is Jenny again, and I'm the client. On
no,
the schedule
it's different. On the coach schedule, we're
right.
only on week 4.
Okay.
So you are actually, it's changed because I changed it on my end. Jenny and Kia switched. So Kia's
okay.
actually the coach next week. Anna, you're the client. And Minx is going to be the observer. So why don't I send you guys out an updated version of that?
Beautiful.
Okay?
Great.
All right. Have a great day, everyone. Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Namaste.